Good morning, everyone. Let's just begin the morning with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for this morning. We just thank you for this day that you've given us. And we just thank you for this time where we can just spend some time meditating on your word. I just pray that the words and that my devotional this morning will be a blessing to my brothers and sisters who are listening this morning. We just thank you, and we lift this all up to you. We love you. We pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen. So good morning again, everyone. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. So that's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. I'll be reading from the ESV version. For everything, there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Amen. So just as a very quick recap, the book of Ecclesiastes is considered one of the wisdom books, along with Job, Proverbs, Song of Songs, and Psalms. Its author is classically attributed to King Solomon, though there are actually debates about among scholars whether this is actually the case. But most commentary that you'll read, most study guides that you'll read would usually say this is Solomon's work. The book is presented as a biography of the author's life, his memoirs, his investigations, reflections on all that he has done and experienced in his life as a king. And whether the things that he has done, the things that he's learned, has any meaning to it. And if you read Ecclesiastes, you may think that, oh, this author is quite fatalistic, quite cynical, as the book begins with really famous verses. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Or if you look at the NIV version, it says meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. But if you reflect on the book in its totality, you may begin to appreciate that what the author is suggesting is that living in obedience to God provides a grounding for human life. And it's apart from God that there is no meaning. The passage that we read this morning at the beginning of chapter 3 follows on from the author's thoughts in chapters 1 and 2, where he's concluded that work, pleasures, even wisdom, is ultimately meaningless in themselves. Chapter 3 builds on that premise to conclude that we should be content and make use of what God has given us. So the message that I would like to share this morning is a reminder that everything happens according to God's timing and not ours. So today, we'll be doing a bit of a short Bible study on the verses that we read this morning. So, you know, back to the point is, you know, everything happens according to God's timing and not ours. It's a perpetual struggle for us all. We as human beings, we try to control when certain things happen and at what time. One of the pastors I came across, one of his devotionals on this passage, he says, half of the problem of life is that we are constantly trying to run the schedule ourselves, but God has already planned the schedule. For example, my family actually went through COVID for the last few weeks. From the beginning, from the first member of our household to get COVID till the last one, which was me, it took us about, in total, about 3 weeks to recover, as different members of the household got sick at different times, which meant that we were stuck at home for almost a month, which was pretty tough, considering, we're trying to manage everyone's health, trying to keep the kids entertained. And I'm also trying to get my work all done at home, on conference calls and whatnot. So it was a bit tough. But in retrospect, in an ideal world, it'd be like, oh, if we were to have had get were to get COVID anyway, it'd been good if like all of us just got it at the beginning. So we didn't have to drag this out for 3 weeks. But the reality is some things are just out of our control. And the verses that we read is a beautiful reminder that everything happens and will happen is all in God's timing. As it says in verse 1, for everything there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Now, it does not say only for some things or some matters. It says everything, good or bad, has a time and place in God's economy. So if you read the passage, you'll note that verses 2 to 8, it juxtaposes polar opposites, 14 pairs of contrasting activities. And we'll just look at each of these in turn to better understand the point that the author is trying to present in this passage. So verses 2 to 3, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. These verses deal with the physical aspects. The author begins with what bookends every person's life, his or her birth and his or her death. This is something you can't control. Those that have children knows that even having children and when to have children is not a precise science. This is something that God is ultimately in control of. And we also have no control over when exactly we're going to die. God has ultimately designed our destiny. Job 14:5 says, since his days are numbered and the number of his months is with you, you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass. There's also a literary purpose for starting out the 14 pairs of opposites with birth and death, because this reminds us that God knows the beginning and the end of our journey on earth. And if he's in control of these most critical times, wouldn't he therefore be in control of everything that happens in between during our lifetime? And in accordance to his timing. The second half of verse 2, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, also reminds us that in order to feed our bodies, we have to plant and harvest at the right time. For those of you who have an interest in growing, in farming, you'll know that if you plant out of season, the crops won't grow. They just won't grow, or they won't grow as well. And so there's a season and a time for everything. In verse 3, the time to kill and the time to heal. Now, it might seem a bit strange that the Bible is saying, oh, there is a time to kill. But notice it does not say murder. It says just the time to kill. But if you look through human and biblical history, this is actually what happens, especially, say, times of war. We see it in the Old Testament when God pronounces judgment upon certain lands or certain people. And in those circumstances, there is a time to kill. But afterwards, when people repent, when people come back to God, there's also a time for people to heal when after people have been afflicted. A time to break down, a time to build up. It's similar to the one above. When God pronounces judgment upon a land, there's a time to break it down. But if people repent, return to him, it can be built up, be built back up for his glory. And this actually also represents our own life cycle. In our youth, our bodies grow, we physically get stronger, but as we age, our bodies might start aging and breaking down. And that's okay, because this is all in God's design. In verses 4 to 5, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. All of us who've lived long enough knows this to be true. Everything in verse 4. There are moments where we are sad, where we mourn the loss of loved ones, or there's calamity or danger, and we weep or mourn. Now, they're usually unpleasant experiences, but they also serve a purpose, as it allows us to process through the loss, through mourning, through weeping, and also to remind us that God is the ultimate comforter for us during those times. We cannot escape the sorrow during our lifetimes. Even Jesus' life was marked with sorrows. Isaiah 53:3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Weeping, mourning will always be part of a fallen world, but there are also times to celebrate, to rejoice when we turn back to him. As it says in Psalm 30, you have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. In verse 5, it says, oh, there's a time to cast stones. When would this happen? For example, in times of war, when you need to cast stones to take down the enemy's fortification. Or usually most scholars would say this is when you're casting stones onto the enemy's farmland to prevent them from growing anything during, you know, times of conflict. But there's also times to gather the stones back, to, you know, rebuild strongholds, to rebuild farmlands after a war. The second half of verse 5, the author says there's a time to embrace and time to refrain from embracing. And this is quite normal. If you see a good friend, a family member, someone you care about, you might embrace them, you'll give them a good hug. But for people you may not know very well, you're uncomfortable with, or, you know, they're belligerent, you may refrain from embracing them, and that's perfectly normal too. Verses 6 to 8, a time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Verse 6 deals with possessions. Some items are valuable and worth keeping and seeking for when lost, but some things are not. And this reminds me of, for example, in Jonah, when the people on the boat were trying to just keep their boat afloat, they had to throw away their cargo in order to keep preserve their own life. In verse 7, the first half of verse 7, this deals with, again, a time of mourning, maybe at a funeral, where in ancient times, mourners would tear apart their garments in grief. But when the grief is over, when the period of mourning is over, they'll have time to sew and mend the garments back. In the second half of verse 7, it reminds us that there are times to keep silent. For example, if we're casting pearls before swine, or there's a danger that what you say may not be properly interpreted in that situation, or it's just what you're saying is just not helpful to a situation, or all you're doing is actually creating gossip. So in those moments, there are times to just keep silent. But there are also times where you should be speaking up. For example, when it's to edify others, to glorify God, or when we know our words will have the power to lead someone towards salvation. And finally, in verse 8, it reminds us there are times where we should be reaching out to love on those who are hurt, feeling lonely or weak. But there are also times where we may hate a particular situation. An example I came across while preparing for this devotional was a story of a young Abraham Lincoln. And when the young Abraham Lincoln, I think it was in New Orleans, he saw humans being sold. And at that point, he knew he hated slavery. And he resolved to, you know, his life mission to get rid of it. In that circumstance, the hatred of slavery was reasonable. And the time for war and a time for peace acknowledges that we are living in a fallen and broken world, where there's evil in this world, and war may be, unfortunately, the only way to stop certain things. So, for example, in World War II, that the Allied forces had to go against Nazi Germany. although war is not something that we should ever want, it's also mentioned that these are in God's plans, marking the end times. In Matthew 24, 6 to 8, it says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you dare not alarm, for this must take place. But the end is not, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains." Even war is within God's timing. The fact that there is a time for war and a time for peace reminds us that we are utterly depending on God to make it through ever-changing, very tumultuous seasons of our lives, including now. So, having gone through these verses, knowing that God is ultimately in control of everything at all times, how does this affect my life? How does it affect your life? How does it affect all our lives? And I have really three very short reflections to share. And the first is, life will have ups and downs. Life will have ups and downs. You may have heard of the saying from the Greek philosopher Heraclitus, that the only thing permanent is change. In the world that we live in, I think that's true. Nothing is static. Things are dynamic and keep changing throughout the course of life, with the only constant, the only thing permanent, being God himself. And it's that part, it's a part of our journey on earth that we'll experience both good times and bad times. In our human nature, we naturally want to control what happens to our lives and at what times. We want only the good stuff. We don't want the bad stuff. Whether it's at work, whether it's our personal lives, whether it's our spiritual and church lives, we only want the good stuff. We don't want the bad stuff. We want to be in control. But what Ecclesiastes reminds us is that no one can ultimately control these seasons of our lives. They are in God's hands. Our role is to align our lives as best as we can according to his timing and plans. And the second point is, knowing that we will go through ups and downs, then what should our attitude be in different situations, in different seasons? It reminds me of a conversation that I had years ago where I was reminded that if we follow God, we are exactly where God wants us to be for that season. No matter where you are, you are exactly where God wants you to be. And so if that's the case, when situations are tough, they're bad, they're unpleasant, rather than just moaning, complaining, or being bitter about the situation, perhaps the question and the attitude that we should be taking, the questions that we should ask are, God, what is your will for this situation? What do you want me to learn and grow from the situation? How can I glorify you even in this situation? What part of the process, what we need to learn is to discover and accept and appreciate God's timing while trying to avoid the pitfalls of doubting and resenting God's timing. And the third and final point this morning is always remember that as a follower of Christ, no matter what the situation we're going through, the promise of God is not that our lives will remain free, that things will be easy. Ultimately, we are living in a fallen world. But his promise and gift to us is his ever-present companionship with the Holy Spirit within us guiding our lives. One of my favorite and most comforting passages in the whole Bible is Deuteronomy 31, 6, 8. "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." My friends, take heart that God is always present in our lives, our great comforter, our great friend, and the Lord of our lives. As we welcome Pastor Ernie to prepare for worship, let's just spend a bit of time reflecting upon the passage that we read this morning. "For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." Again, in our human nature, we want to control everything. We only want the good times. We don't want suffering. It's unpleasant. But what the passage reminds us is in our lifetime, there are ups and downs. But what we can be assured of is that there's no mistake in God's timing. Things will happen according to his timing, not ours. And let us take comfort through this all that he is constant, he is our rock, and he will be with us every step of the way. So let's worship.
You're so good to me.
Turn to our community prayer. Lift up our brothers and sisters and family and loved ones who are battling through cancer. Let's pray for all those who are sick and also need salvation in their lives. Let's just pray through, even through the season, that God will work with power and for them to know God through the season. Let's lift up brothers and sisters and friends and family who are dealing with different illnesses, infirmities. Let's just lift them up. Let's pray for brothers and sisters in our church that are battling through COVID. Let's just pray for a quick and speedy recovery for all of them. Let's also just lift up all the frontline medical workers: Abby, Amy, Christy, Eugenia, Jackie, Jay, Janet, JJ, Lawrence, Lynn, Peter, and Vanessa. Let's just pray that they'll have energy. They'll get the enough support as they continue to. Yeah, lead the medical efforts in our city. Let's lift up Bob and sisters who are looking for work. Let's turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia, for Oasis House, Pastor Denny O. Let's pray for North Korea, for continued open doors for ministry opportunities. Let's pray for missional opportunities and partnerships throughout Asia. And let's pray for all the persecuted churches, especially in the Middle East. Let's lift them up. Let's lift up all the SP weekend gatherings. Let's lift up the Sunday services, the well, SP kids, worship, hospitality, SP youth, spinning spill services and activities, classes and outreaches, and all the meetings. Let's just pray for God's presence to be in each and every one of the activities, and for all the leaders for the different ministries and activities to be anointed for this. Come on. Let's lift up all our sisters who are pregnant, China and many others in our body. Let's just pray for a very smooth pregnancy, for a lot of rest during the pregnancy. Finally, let's lift up the house churches that are meeting today. Bowen House Church, Hollywood, Mawan, Southside. Just pray for a very fruitful conversation, a great time of fellowship among all the brothers and sisters in those house churches. So let's just lift them up. Father God, we just thank you again for this time this morning that we can just wake up and just meditate on your word. We just thank you for the reminder that everything, for everything, there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And because of this, we don't always need to struggle to be in control of everything because we have faith and confidence that you are ultimately in control. So Father, we just lift up the rest of this day to you. We just pray that our time during this weekend we'll get closer with you. We just again thank you so much. We love you. We pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you everyone for joining us this morning. God bless.